Yeah, it's such a privilege to be here on Pentecost Sunday and just reflect on what the Lord did on that day. That as the disciples and the believers were just continually united in prayer and waiting as Jesus had instructed them, that the Holy Spirit was just poured out on that day. And I spent the week just asking the Lord what message he wanted me to bring to this church this morning. And I felt like he started by showing what Jesus told the disciples before Jesus ascended into heaven. As he was approaching his death and crucifixion on the cross, and he had just had the final meal, the Last Supper with the disciples, he began to tell them again of the things that were going to come, so that when they actually happened, they would know that, yes, Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And I want to begin looking in John chapter 14, verse 15. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." And it's so easy to say, "I love Jesus," with our lips. But does the way we live our lives also match up with that declaration? Because Jesus doesn't say, "If you love me, you will say that." He doesn't say, "If you love me, you will call yourself a Christian," or "If you love me, you will come to church on Sunday." Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." So the question you have to ask yourself is, are you keeping his commands? Do you even know all of his commands that are in this book? How important is it to you to study this, to know his commands in order that you may follow him because of your love for him? Is the Bible your standard, your compass for each and every decision you make in each and every area of your life? Or are you letting worldly thinking, worldly ways, worldly strategy impact the way that you're living your lives? Because Jesus is clear. He says, if we love him, we will keep his commands. Now, we're not able to do this in our own strength, so fortunately, he continues in verse 16. And he tells them, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't see the Holy Spirit, if you're sitting this morning and you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you don't see his activity and his role in your life, then you must ask yourself the question, are you still of the world and therefore unable to receive him? Essentially, are you truly saved? It might be the most important question you ever ask in your life. Because if you are truly a born-again believer as defined by the Bible, you will know him, he will remain with you, and he will be in you. And that is an absolutely amazing, profound truth. That God himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, actually dwells and lives in us. It's incredible. I mean, Stefan spoke about joy coming in the morning, and if your heart isn't full of rejoicing and thankfulness this morning, meditate on that truth. Meditate on God himself living in you, the Holy Spirit in you. Oh, it's beautiful. Jesus continues in John 14, and he tells the disciples some of the things that the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. Starting in verse 25, he says, "I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." And how incredible is it that as we walk away from those beautiful, intimate times that we have with the Lord, reading His Word, meditating on His Word, treasuring His Word, that as we leave those beautiful times and continue throughout the rest of our day, that the Holy Spirit is reminding us of what we read, reminding us of the things that Jesus has told us, reminding us of the truth, which is the Word of God. And how incredible is it that if you have the Holy Spirit, whether you have been saved for 3 days or for 30 years, that same Holy Spirit acts as your teacher. That as you read and engage the Lord and the Word of God, that as you sit under preaching and teaching in settings like this, that as you come together in community and discuss the Lord, His kingdom, His ways, and His Word, that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And Jesus continues in John chapter 15, verse 26. And He says, "When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me." And personally, I know like I know who Jesus Christ is. The Son of God who left heaven, who came to earth in the form of a man to live a sinless life that I could not live, to die a death on the cross, to rise again 3 days later, to ascend to the Father in heaven, and to one day come and return to bring judgment on this earth. I don't need a human man to convince me of these facts. I don't need more worldly evidence or archaeological discoveries to strengthen my argument or my belief in that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, testifies about this truth. And the Holy Spirit is why I know, like I know, that I am saved by the grace of God, and that I am a child of God, and that I will spend eternity with Him. Do you have that same level of assurance in your heart that only the Holy Spirit can give you? And Jesus continues in John chapter 16. In verse 7, He says, "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment." I mean, can you imagine if you were actually alive while Jesus Himself lived on the earth? Can you imagine the awe and wonder you would have as you listened to Jesus Himself teach the Word of God? Can you imagine the awe and wonder you would have as you watched Jesus Himself heal the blind, raise the dead? And can you imagine what you would have thought and felt as Jesus, the Messiah, told you it is for your benefit that He goes away? Otherwise, the Holy Spirit won't come to you. I mean, the thoughts and ways of God, they're just truly mind-blowing. And so now we're living in this time where the Holy Spirit has come to us. Jesus continues in verse 13. Go back one, John 16, verse 13. And He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So we see that as the Spirit speaks to us and guides us into all truth, he is speaking and declaring to us what the Father and Son are saying, and he is glorifying Christ. And we must remember that the purpose of our salvation, the purpose of our receiving the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, is to bring glory to God. Our lives are meant to be lived solely for his glory. And I believe the Lord wants us to examine our lives today in light of what he desires our lives to look like if we are truly alive in the Holy Spirit. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to spend some time, the rest of our time, in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, I'm going to read the passage and then we'll go ahead and look at it together. Paul writes to the churches in Galatia, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Okay, so let's take a closer look at this passage together and go back to verse 13. And in verse 13, we're reminded of the amazing truth that as followers of Christ, we have been called to be free. Free from being a slave to sin. Free from the hopelessness and the emptiness in the world that's around us. Free from the wrath and judgment that awaits those who choose not to repent of their sin. Who choose not to believe in and turn to Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's an incredible freedom that we have in Christ. But the world outside of the church speaks of freedom as well. They shout for it, they demand it, but they also define it very differently than the way that God defines it. And the world will teach you that you should look to your own selfish interests, look to your own rights, and have a freedom to live life the way that you see fit. the way that's right in your own eyes. That's the freedom the world will tell you that you should strive for. But we see that as followers of Christ, we're not meant to use this freedom that we have in Christ to indulge the flesh, to indulge all those desires that the rest of the world runs after, craves, and demands for themselves. Those aren't the ways that we are to use our freedom, but rather we are to serve one another humbly in love. And amazingly, we see in verse 14 that the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that word love is also another word that the world is trying to distort and define by their own terms. So we must make sure that when we show love, that we're defining love by God's standards. And this word gives us plenty of instructions on what it actually practically looks like to love one another. And he, of course, gave us the ultimate example by sending his son to lay his life down on our behalf as a sign of his love. So, church, are you using your freedom in Christ to humbly serve and love one another in Christ by his standards, wholeheartedly? And verse 15 makes it clear what it doesn't look like to do this. It doesn't look like biting and devouring each other. And Paul warns that not only are you outside of God's heart and his will to love one another when you do this, but you literally may destroy one another by doing so. And so in verse 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And if you're sitting here this morning and you know that you have received the Holy Spirit, the next question you need to ask yourself is, are you actually walking by the Spirit? And we must examine ourselves in light of this passage to answer that question accurately. In Ezekiel 36, verse 27, God tells us, I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And how incredible is it to have the Holy Spirit within us, the same supernatural power that raised Christ from the dead, that same person, that same power actually moving us, helping us to follow God's decrees and to be careful to keep God's laws. And so as we go back to Galatians, Paul tells us that if we are in fact walking by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of our flesh. Why? Because our fleshly desires are contrary to or against the Spirit. What the world desires and what God desires of us, at the end of the day, they are in conflict with each other. And therefore, we are not to do whatever we want. If we are to claim as followers of Christ that we are no longer under the law, then we must be led by the Spirit. Then verse 19, Paul then says that the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. And he begins to list examples of acts that if you're participating in any of these acts, that it means that rather than walking by the Spirit, you are actually gratifying and indulging your fleshly desires. And he begins to list these acts. He lists sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. The list finishes with drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And you may be struggling with one of those things today as you're sitting here. But sometimes I feel that we can look at those, and actually, if we're not struggling with one of those things, we can say, okay, well, we're doing pretty well for ourselves. And we often glance over the section that's kind of listed between those extremes. In that section, we might tend to think it's less serious among the things that are listed as fleshly acts. But Paul makes no distinction between them as being less serious. And he mentions hatred or hostility, discord or quarreling, jealousy, fits of rage or outbursts of anger, selfish ambition or selfishness, dissensions or divisions, factions or envy. And let me just say that as born again believers, we will continue to grow in becoming more like Christ, and it will be an ongoing process for the rest of our lives until we see him face to face in all of his glory. And therefore, we will sin even after we are saved. But when we do sin and the Holy Spirit convicts us of this sin, we are to repent of the sin. We are to confess it. We are to ask for the Lord's merciful and gracious forgiveness, knowing that he is faithful and just to give it. And then we are to ask for his help and his empowerment by his Spirit to begin walking in the direction that he desires us to walk in, to obey him. Because church, if you look at this list and one or more of these acts of the flesh that are described here, if it describes the way that you are currently living on a regular, ongoing basis, Paul gives a very, very sobering warning that you must heed. He says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So verse 22, what should our lives look like if we are truly walking by the Spirit? What will the fruit be that will be evident to everyone? Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are truly walking by the Spirit, you will see each and every one of these fruits in your life. And you will see them growing in your life in an increasing measure as you continue to grow more and more like Christ. So the question you have to ask yourself, is this the fruit that people see and experience in you and the way that you live your life? That regardless of what the world throws at you, regardless of the circumstances around you, regardless of what other people do or say to you or about you, that you respond and act as the Spirit leads you. And the evidence of whether you are doing that is the fruit of the Spirit. It is these 9 attributes. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're lacking joy, you're lacking peace, you're lacking patience, The answer for you this morning is to align yourself with the Spirit's activity in and around you, and to align yourself with the Spirit's desire for how you are to think, how you are to act, how you are to speak in each and every moment and situation that you encounter. It's that response of Lord, here I am. Lord, what do you want me to do in this moment? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to do next? Lord, I am here to follow you wherever you lead. That is the constant response of someone who belongs to Christ Jesus, who has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we are truly born again and alive in the Spirit, in all the ways that we've looked at this morning, then church, let us keep in step with the Spirit in each and every area of our lives.